let my life be the evidence. Send me, Lord. I say, send me, Lord. Jesus, send me, Lord.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I've got a relative, their heart is a block wall. They said, you can't tell me anything I don't know. I've already heard all this. I don't want to hear a thing out of you. And the Holy Spirit cannot be stopped. He's on the inside doing the hard part. He's in there saying, hey, you're not going to live forever. You're not that good. You can't get by living the way you're living. You need to be saved. You need to be redeemed. You need a Savior. And on the outside, they're saying, I don't want to hear anything from the church. You're a bunch of hypocrites. And the Holy Spirit inside is saying, but if you don't receive Jesus, you will die and you will go to hell because conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Don't you think the hard part in part is that God has given us His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit is working in my family, working in your family, and working in this generation, and at work in our president, and at work in the Senate, and at work in the Congress, and at work in the judges, at work in those neighbors that are around your house? Don't you think part of the hard work is that you and I could never argue and convince anyone of anything, but the Holy Spirit is able from the inside to do the work that needs to be done? And so I believe in part in this passage what Jesus is saying to the disciples and to us this morning is, I've already made the way. I've sent my Spirit. And you have authority to pray and believe and exercise. Now bait the hook and jerk it. Bring them in. There's some people that you can reach, I can't reach. I have an opportunity to reach some that you may not be able to reach. But together, God has sent us to reach those who will be saved. Those who will be saved. Now, God knows who they are. How many of you believe God knows who's going to be saved? Because He knows everything. He knows there's nothing in the future He doesn't know. So, can we all agree that God knows who's going to be saved? So, if God knows who's going to be saved, How many of you think that the Holy Spirit just might be orchestrating some of the appointments in your life? It may be with a doctor. It might be at a hospital. It might be a conversation in the front yard. It may be with an auto mechanic. It might be with your banker. I don't know what appointments that are happening in your life. Have any of you experienced the reality that God, this is a God appointment? God has literally set this up. God brought me here. God set this up so that He could minister through me to someone. Don't you think that's what Jesus is saying here? Open your eyes. Look at what God has already done. Look at how He brought you into the kingdom. Look at how the harvest works. The most unsuspecting, the most inappropriate or misinterpreted times, God will just show up like that. And at that place, He'll do a mighty work. I love Isaiah 55:1 because it talks about, we looked at finishing the work, opening your eyes, and now we're at point four, which is now harvest. Now harvest. That's the message here in John 4. It's a now harvest. And doesn't the word say that today is the day of salvation? Harden not your heart, to not put it off till tomorrow. And someone says, well, you know, it could be a long time before Jesus comes. What if you stop breathing right now? How long does it take for one to leave? Have you ever sat with someone? Now, I know this is, you know, I'm not trying to be too harsh this morning, but I believe reality needs to sink in. Have you been with someone in the last moments of their life, and have you seen how quickly, once the spirit is gone, the body is changed almost instantly? Once the Spirit leaves, it's not like something that is slow. It's almost instantaneously. You can see a transformation once the Spirit is gone. How long does that take? It is seconds, literally. Minutes, literally. That appointment is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. And so the importance in our own life is to not put off. Maybe someone is in this room, or maybe someone will be watching this stream, and I want to tell you, don't put off coming to Jesus. Don't put it off another moment. Don't put it off another hour. Don't put it off another day. Don't wait another second. Come right now. I want to be one of those harvesters. I want to tell you, right now is the time. You cannot afford to risk eternity away from God. Come to Him now. Believe in your heart. Confess that you're a sinner. Receive Him into your life. Yes, some will watch today. We will listen today. But Jesus is talking to harvesters who already know. So the now message to the harvest is, you and I are to give that kind of a message. We are to be serious about it. We're to realize how serious it is. We're in the kingdom. We have fire insurance. Hallelujah. Some people go, well, at the last minute, I'll come. You may not have time at the last minute. If you have a minute now, then today is your day. And besides, why would you not want to? Why would you not want to? A God who loves you so much, that has such an awesome plan for your life, why would you not want to come now to Jesus? I'll tell you, my only regret in regards to my walk with God is that I didn't come sooner. And I came when I was 15. And the enemy said, you don't want to get religion while you're young because you want to get out and live it big. Let me tell you, God has given me such a big life. What the devil gives you is a big lie. What God gives you is a big life. You can choose a big lie or a big life. And we need to get it back into balance and say, I am a harvester, and part of my mission is to make sure that those that God gives me an opportunity to witness to, that I tell them it's life or death. Choose life or choose death. It's life or it's a lie. What are you going to do with your life? So in Isaiah 55, even now, ho everyone that thirsteth. Like the woman at the well. She said, wow, give me this water so I don't have to come back here anymore. She's thinking natural, isn't she? But in Isaiah, and you know I love to bring together the first covenant, the second covenant. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. The invitation's always been there. It's just now when we come, we get to have Him enter into us as we enter into Him. What about in Joel? Now we read in Acts and we read a little bit of Joel. But let me share a little bit of the context from Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading with verse 23 from the New Living Translation. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. The rain he sends. Now when you read this, you may be thinking about what the disciples were thinking about. They're thinking about, oh, 4 months and then the harvest, we plant and then we harvest. Oh yes, and now the prophet's talking about the rain that God sends, you know, that it demonstrates His faithfulness. Well, it does in the natural, but He's going to get to the spiritual right here in Joel. Once more, the autumn rains will come. Israel has been in a mess. Their sins have brought them to a place of great embarrassment and shame. But the prophet is hearing from the Spirit, and it's being given to the Jewish nation, that the day is coming when the autumn rains will come again, as well as the rains of the spring, so that you not only have rain to raise the grain, but you have rain to ripen the grain so that the full harvest can be brought in. So it's talking about a former rain and a latter rain so that the harvest is fully received. Are you still with me? The threshing floors. You know what a threshing floor is? That's where they work the grain to break off the chaff. So the chaff would blow away. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain. And the presses. You go to Israel, they're going to want to show you an old olive press. How the oxen, or maybe Samson, remember Samson? They put out his eyes, put him in. He had to walk around for the press, the olive. The presses will overflow with new wine. They couldn't even understand it, Toddy. It was something coming. It's something in my day, in your day. And to the Jews, it's now being fulfilled. They will overflow with new wine. In the natural, they're going, wow, that's great. We're going to have bumper crops. We're going to have plenty of grain. We're going to have plenty of food. We're going to have plenty of wine and olive oil. Because they did the same thing with the olives, Bill. And so whether it was the grapes in the harvest or it's the olives, that God is saying, the day is going to come when you're going to be so blessed you will not be able to contain it. It's going to overflow. Someone asked me one time when Miss Esther was erupting in the Holy Spirit. They said, now is that the baptism? I said, no. You just heard Esther responding to the baptism. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Yes, it is the baptism, but it is the power of God that's overflowing outside of our life. It's when you are more than full, you are overflowing. Well, you got to hang on. You're going to see this kind of come together, I trust. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost. You ever lost anything? There was a day, back in the day, my wife had got me a bracelet. It was a nice gold bracelet. It's been a lot of years ago. We sold it for our dog to have a surgery. So you know what our priority was. It was our dog, not the bracelet. But there's a story with the bracelet. My wife could tell it much better than me. But we were putting one of our tents up, and we were driving stakes, and I lost the bracelet. No clue where it was. My wife, my dear, darling wife, she found the bracelet. How long did you hold it? Till Christmas? The next Christmas, I looked everywhere. I couldn't find the bracelet. Come Christmas, I'm opening my gifts, and guess what I find? I find the bracelet. My dear, darling wife, she held it out. God is saying to Israel, what is coming, what I have for you, is so much better than anything you've ever had. Because what I'm going to do in the future, we're now living in this day, is that even what has been lost, I'm going to deal with the loss as well. I kind of like this. I will give you back what you lost to the locust, the swarming locust. Maybe some of you remember that song we used to sing. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. I was singing that one day and I was all excited about it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you didn't take back anything. Jesus went to the enemy's camp and he took back what the devil stole from me. And now Jesus gives me back what he took back from the devil. And it's mine in Jesus' name. I love it. I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust. We have those grasshoppers at our house. They're like that big. They devour everything. They're like, this is part of the Egyptian curse. Get out of my yard in Jesus' name. I'm even in my dress clothes, tracking them down, smushing them this morning. And this scripture says that God knows about every little demonic work where he stole something from us. God's saying to Israel, even though it looks hopeless and it looks like there's no opportunity for restoration, God is saying, I'm going to give it all back. In fact, the thief has to give back how many fold? Sevenfold, I believe it is. Yeah, the thief has to give back. I will give you back what you lost. Swarming locust, hopping locust, stripping locust, and the cutting locust. You ought to have this scripture available in your Holy Ghost shotgun to fire at the devil when the devil comes around and you have a flat tire. And the devil comes around and you run out of gas. You know, isn't it embarrassing to run out of gas? I mean, I have AAA, but you wait 2 hours to get gas. I know they just bring it out and put it in your car. But thank you, Father. God is my provider. God is my restorer. God is my protector. God is my salvation. God is my sanctifier. Wednesday nights, we're working our way through these things. God is my peace. God is my banner. God is with me, and all hell can't change these realities. This is who God is, and God is my righteousness, and God is your righteousness. And so the enemy does not have claim where Jesus' blood has marked it. It was I who sent this great destroying army. Yeah, when we were rebelling, God allowed. Once again, you will have all the food you want. You will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. Never again. The day is coming. Say, coming. Coming. All these nations roaring at Israel. Compromising politicians, lying politicians. Negotiations that will fail. But God has His eye on His people, on Israel, and on we who are His people. God has His eye on us. In fact, the Word talks about that we're like the pupil of His eye. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then you will know that I am among my people Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and that there is none other. We do not see that in Israel as a whole from a political national level yet. But if you get into the land and talk to the messianic leaders, you will find out that God already has established throughout the whole land little congregations all over. When I was there, I believe they said there were only two communities that didn't have a Jesus witness that was meeting. We're in this day. Never again will my people be disgraced. You look at this passage and you're going to see these never again. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then you will know. Never again will my people be disgraced. Two times. After doing all these things. Now we come to the part we're familiar with, right? I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Woo! We just went from Joel all the way to Pentecost. Just like a zoom. It's like faster than the speed of light. We went from the first covenant into the second covenant. And now we already are 2,000 years later. But this took place, genuinely took place. I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Hang on, we're going to cover a lot in the next few minutes. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire, columns of smoke. The sun will become dark. This is all coming. Soon come. In Jamaica, I heard him say, soon come on. Soon come on. I asked my dad, what does that mean? We're at church. We're ready for church. It's time for church. Nobody's there. But we're there. And someone came in, carrying the tambourines, bringing a few kids. I said, where is everybody? Soon come, Mom, soon come. I said, Dad, what is going on? He said, you just watch and see. A little while, another family came in, and they came in, and they had some shakers, and they're all excited, and they're coming to church, and some others brought some other things along, and little by little, people start coming in. And I said, Dad, when are they going to get here? He said, soon come, son, soon come. They're coming. Let me tell you, soon, and very soon, we're going to see the King. This message is a now message. It's for a now harvest. It's for a now people. It's for harvesters that will understand we are the people now. And the hard work's been done already. Moon will turn to blood red before that great and terrible day. Any of you remember any red moons? Blood red moons? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion in Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. There will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. I want to remind you that Jesus spoke of this outpouring as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and as a river. In John chapter 7, John 7, 37 through 39, on the last day at the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. Now this is going to tie in with Isaiah 55:1. Because now Jesus is saying, he doesn't say, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." He says, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me." Jesus is the answer. He said, "You're thirsty, come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was not speaking of Bob's business, though he was, because it's a living water business. But he is speaking of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who would be given, who has now been given, right, to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit at that time had not yet been given. What about Revelation 21:6? You're going to keep seeing this. Thirsty, everyone can come. In Revelation 21:6, and he also said, "It is finished." We found that earlier, didn't we? When Jesus was on the cross. Now this is a different finishing. Listen, "It is finished. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life." Revelation, we're at the end of the book. We're at the fulfillment. As we look in the last chapter, at least four times, the admonition is, "I'm coming soon, I'm coming soon, I'm coming soon, I'm coming soon. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely." This is the day for us to receive. Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride. Now who's the Spirit? Holy Spirit. You might want to write this down, Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride. So if the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the Bride is who? We're the Bride. And so the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come!" Jesus said, "Open up your eyes, look on the harvest, for the fields are white, the hard part's already been done. You are now harvesters." The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." So the Holy Spirit on the inside is saying, "Come." And the church, you and me, we on the outside are saying, "Come." And so when someone's not listening to you, they still are going to hear what on the inside? "Come." When they're listening, they're going to hear, "Come" on the inside, and they're going to hear, "Come" on the outside. Are you getting this? We have the easy part. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let anyone who hears this say, "Come, come." Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. Amos 9, we're sent forth to reap. "In that day I'll restore the fallen house of David. I will repair its damaged walls. From the ruins I will rebuild it and restore its former glory. The time will come, says the Lord." I want you to think about the time will come. Now we are in the come time. "The time will come," this is the prophetic word, says the Lord, "when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can."
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStuart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995.